This is 91.7 KAXE Grand Rapids, 90.5 KBXE Bagley Bemidji, and 89.9 in Brainerd, telling stories of northern Minnesota through music, conversation, and events. This is Steve Inskeep with National Public Radio. Support the good work of my colleagues at KAXE. Go to KAXE.org.
Hey, I'm Carmel Holt, and welcome to She Rose Radio, a space that was created to turn up the volume of women's voices and gender expansive folks in song and conversation. We're here not only to amplify, but multiply those voices that you may not even be aware you're missing, but are still not heard in equal numbers on the airwaves and in music. So we get together each week for an hour of songs and interviews featuring the trailblazers and the new visionaries across genres, generations, and identities, hosted, produced, and powered by women and queer folks. To quote Gloria Steinem, revolutions come from combining what exists into what has never existed before. This radio revolution starts now.
Take off the clothes that you wore to work, peeling the paint from the wood. Do you dream in the dark of the roots and trees, the scars and all the uncovering? Yeah, whenever that shame tries to bury you, I hope you will find your way through. Remember, I am, am I. When your face on that moon go of all this woe. You'll be my Valentine's swords. I'll be love's echo and reports. Together we'll dance under that turning sky, like tumbling bass since the stars arrive. And the face on that moon is gonna laugh and swim.
I'm not the kind of fool who needs.
sending birthday wishes out to the brilliant singer-songwriter, multi-instrumentalist, producer, and mixing engineer, Melina Duterte. On Monday, March 25th, she turns 30 years young from her last J-Som album, Anako, that was Superbike. On She Rose Radio, Melina has been busy touring as the bassist for Boy Genius the past year and hoping that we'll get new J-Som music from her soon. Also, a brand new song by Indigo Girls, What We Want to Be, from the soundtrack to Glitter and Doom, which is a new musical film described as a fantastical romance set to the iconic hits of the Indigo Girls, following two young performers falling in love at first sight. Looking forward to seeing that. Welcome to She Rose Radio, my friends. I'm your host, Carmel Holt. It is so great to see you as always, as together we'll turn up the volume of women's voices in song and conversation for the next hour. And this week, we'll welcome back Aoife O'Donovan as our featured guest, celebrating the release of her new album, All My Friends. It's a big birthday week on She Rose. It's the centennial of one of the greatest voices of the 20th century. Singer and pianist Sarah Vaughan was born March 27th, 1924 in Newark, New Jersey, from her 1957 album Swingin' Easy. Here's her version of this Gershwin classic.
Sip your tea. The memory of all that. No, no, they can't take that away from me. The way your smile just beams. The way you sing off key. The way you haunt my dreams. No, no, they can't take that away from me. We may never, never road to love. Still I always, always keep the memory of the way you hold your knife, the way we dance till three, the way you change your life. No, no, they can't take that away from me. No, they can't take that away from me. The way you hold your hat, the way you sip your tea, the memory of all that. No, they can't take that away from me. The way your smile just beams, the way you sing off key, 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 the way you haunt my dreams. No, no, they can't take that away from me. We may never, 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 never meet again on the bump, bump, bumpy road to love. Still I'll always, always keep the memory of the way you hold your knife, the way we dance till three, the way you change my life. No, that away from me, can't take that away from me.
Sitting around me and my man. don't send me no doctor. Filling me up with all of those pills. I got me a man named Dr. Feelgood. Oh, yeah, that man takes care of all of my pains and my ills. His name is Dr. Feelgood in the morning.
Aretha Franklin would have been 82 on Monday, March 25th, from the album I Never Loved a Man the Way I Love You, which was her 10th studio release. That was one of the songs co-written by Aretha. Dr. Feelgood, Love is a Serious Business. That was her first album for Atlantic Records, which came out in 1967 after 9 unsuccessful jazz standard albums. And it marked a commercial breakthrough for Aretha, becoming her first top 10. We also marked 100 years of Sarah Vaughan. Her birthday is March 27th, and we heard They Can't Take That Away From Me, released a decade prior to that album by Aretha. I'm Carmel Holt. Stay with us for this week's She Rose Conversation with Aoife O'Donovan. That's coming up next.
At KAXE, we keep it local.
Then I realized how important my art was to me, how it calms me. It takes all my cares and my woes away.
I'd like to show the community, let the community see that we can do some riskier, surprising things. Like, this is the first time that, as a community theater group, we've really jumped this far outside of the box, right? And I would love for that to be.
I think we're inherently a species that is genetically engineered to take care of each other and to take care of the environment in which we live.
It seems like a lot of people in our region are sharing this concern about potential for emergencies with their animals during after hours.
I'm Jennifer Barr. We need your support to keep it local. Text the word donate to 218-326-1234. Thank you so much.
Listening to She Rose, and I'm Carmel Holt. They say to know your future, you must know your past. And with just 10 days left of Women's History Month in this particularly tumultuous election year and a time when women's rights are at stake, it couldn't be a more perfect moment for the release of Aoife O'Donovan's 4th full-length solo album, All My Friends. The album has a unique origin story, and one could say has been years in the making, as half of the songs had their first life as pieces written for and performed with an orchestra before their rebirth as songs for this new album. In today's conversation, Aoife will tell us how, in the midst of the pandemic, she was commissioned by the Orlando Philharmonic to write a piece about women's suffrage to mark the centennial of the 19th Amendment, the passage of which finally gave women the right to vote in August of 1920. It was a hard-won victory, and as Aoife began her research, she was especially inspired by the woman who helped to bring the amendment to ratification, Carrie Chapman Catt, who served as the president of the National American Women's Suffrage Movement. The resulting work, titled America Come, was a 5-piece song cycle, which premiered in 2021 with the Orlando Philharmonic. The following year, Aoife released her 3rd solo album, the 3-time Grammy-nominated Age of Apathy, the writing of which had overlapped with the America Come project, and as we will learn, followed a period of creative stagnancy and uncertainty for Aoife O'Donovan, and would fuel not only the completion of the America Come song cycle, but also inform and inspire this new album, All My Friends, which includes reimaginings of those 5 songs, as well as 3 new ones and a poignant Dylan cover for good measure. And while the album reminds us and inspires us to learn about and continue the fight for equality, Aoife has endured her own times of self-doubt, grief, and worry as a woman, as a daughter,
and as a parent to her own daughter, and infuse these new songs that reflect on our collective and individual past with a message of hope, optimism, and perseverance into a better future. I'm thrilled to welcome back Aoife O'Donovan as this week's Shiro in the Spotlight. Aoife O'Donovan, welcome to Shiro's.
So great to see you, Carmel.
How are you feeling now that you've gotten to sit with the album for a little bit longer and starting to feel the response?
I'm really excited to play this music for people. I'm really excited for people to get the record and to listen to it. And it's not a record full of radio-friendly jams. You know, it's really not. It's a record that you're going to have to sit with and listen to and give it some time. And it's thought-provoking.
I know that performance is so important to you. This project has so many things about it that are unique. And one of them is that you actually have had a long runway with some of this material that you've already experienced playing with an orchestra. Talk to us a little bit about that for those that don't already know the story of the genesis of All My Friends.
The long runway is actually a very good way to put it. It's like I'm imagining myself playing as readying for Taxi. This record started really in 2019. The idea was floated to me. I was asked by the Orlando Phil, the orchestra here in Orlando where I live, that my husband is the conductor of. They asked me to write a piece to commemorate the centennial of the passage of the 19th Amendment, which of course was the amendment to the Constitution granting women the right to vote. Many orchestras were asking female composers to create new works for them to perform during that season in honor of this historic event. And I was totally honored to be asked by the OPO, although I was kind of like, really, me? Like, why? Okay, sure, fine. And not to sound falsely modest in any way, but it felt daunting. I was like, can I really do this? But of course, when somebody asks you to do something, they're asking you because they believe that you can do it. And I'm so grateful that they did, because it took a lot of beating myself up, but I did manage to get some sort of creative spark going and wrote these five songs by the deadline to perform the piece during COVID, an outdoor socially distanced concert at Festival Park here in Orlando. Wasn't supposed to be like that. I was supposed to be indoors at the concert hall, yada, yada. And it was really powerful. It was such a cool experience. I wrote the music first. I made all these demos. I sent them to an incredible orchestrator, a woman named Tanner Porter, who I was very lucky to work with. And she and I really worked very collaboratively on these arrangements. It's all her orchestration based on sort of reductions that I had done in the studio with lots of keyboards and lots of guitars and lots of vocals. Anyway, that was the first five songs. I have sort of a song cycle called America Come. And then I sat on it, put out Age of Apathy, toured a bunch, wrote a bunch more music, released a bunch more music. And it was only last year in 2023, Fresh Grass Festival said, we want to commission you to do something. And I was like, you know what? That's a cool idea. Why don't I finish this record? And was really inspired to write three more songs and then a new arrangement of Lonesome Death of Hattie Carroll, which they were really helpful in bringing to life. And we were able to do it live, which is a big undertaking because it was so many people. And that was at Fresh Grass in September.
Why don't we play a song from that first five song cycle? Feels like an Natural Entry Point is the title track, but I also don't want to like push us there.
I think the title track is a really good place for people to start because it's a very simple song. It's kind of a waltz. I love how the song opens with me and the Westerlies. It's a trumpet and trombone. Two of the members of the Westerlies are kind of mimicking these vocal harmonies, and they really sound like some sort of weird, far away, long ago human voice. And it's so beautiful. And when the San Francisco Girls Chorus comes in, that's when you're just like, oh my gosh.
All my friends, all my friends will meet the end someday. So I'll sing a song to guide them on their way. Through the violet heights and the open bones, my load feels heavy most days. Thank you.
All My Friends, title track to the new album by Aoife O'Donovan, her fourth full-length album of original material. She's our guest today on She Rose, and I'm Carmel Holt. So what was the first song that you wrote for this collection, and like, how did you tackle this, I guess? Like, when they were like, okay, we want you to do this, and you were like, who, me? And then you said, okay, me, yes, I'll do it. What happened next?
Well, next was the deadline. That was kind of the craziest part, is when you are asked to write something and it has to be submitted. I needed to turn it into Tanner. I needed to get these orchestral parts written, notated. Eric needed the score. He needed the charts. The string players needed to be able to mark them up, et cetera, et cetera. Now, this sort of coincided with the early days of the pandemic. And I think many artists will remember that despite having all of this newfound time on our hands, I guess I can only speak for myself because some people probably had the total opposite experience. But for me, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm done. I don't have anything to say. I have no creative ideas. Maybe this is it. Maybe this is it for me. And it was really kind of a dark moment. And I remember finally getting out of it the summer of 2020 and eventually moving from New York to Florida. And that was kind of when like the cork was popped off and a lot of ideas started to come. And I remember starting to write All My Friends. I had kind of been playing around with that melody and even that phrase, All My Friends, just way before, like probably in 2017, but it never went anywhere. So I kind of finished that song first. And what came next was actually The Seeds of Daughters. And I remember sitting on my porch, as I loved to do in those autumnal days in Florida during COVID, and playing that little guitar riff and coming up with that first line, here in the dark, everything that once was becomes a tiny spark. And the story started to unfold a little bit. But there weren't many other words that came in that time period. I finished the music first. Like I said, did all these big arrangements on my own at Full Sail, sent them to Tanner to orchestrate, and I worked on the lyrics over the next several months and didn't actually finish the lyrics until right before the performance.
Wait, okay. Didn't Age of Apathy
overlap? Yeah. So Age of Apathy, like that fall, like November, December 2020, it was right around then that I started to think about Age of Apathy. It was like January that I got in touch with Joe Henry, or maybe December we had a call. And then January is when I got back and really started to like write these songs. And that's kind of what I mean about the cork popping off. It was sort of like, okay, it's still in there. I actually do have a lot to say. But I think because I was so focused on Age of Apathy at that point and all of those songs, and like I was in that mentality, I just kind of set aside these demos for America Come and All My Friends, because I was sort of like, let me finish Age of Apathy. Once we mastered Age of Apathy, it was in April of 2021. And really, it was like when I got back from that trip, I was like, okay, I got to hunker down. That was when I kind of finished the lyrics, was April and May of 2021.
Wow. Okay. So, and then you ended up in your research discovering this story of Carrie Chapman Catt. Why did you decide that it was her that was going to inspire the material?
My initial idea was to write 5 songs from 5 different perspectives, almost like a one-woman show. But what I realized when I got a little further down that road was it's really hard to tell a story in like 3 minutes or 4 minutes in a folk song. And as I kind of got deeper into reading about the movement and the time period, I was so struck by my discovery of actual archival documents and text and letters. And that was sort of where I really kind of honed in on Carrie Chapman Catt. You know, I had heard about her reading this book called The Woman's Hour by Elaine Weiss, where she is kind of a central figure in that book. And she was hugely instrumental for sort of the last chapter, the last page of actually getting the votes to ratify the 19th Amendment. So I feel like that's the time that I was focusing on. But when I read these things that she had written and these speeches that she had gave, and they felt so resonant, and there was just so much truth and so much wisdom, and I felt so connected to her ideas. That was when I was like, all right, I'm going to really focus on her for 2 of the songs. I think Crisis and America Come. Her text is used, her direct quotes from her speeches are in those songs. All My Friends is very much like my imagining of her. I wouldn't say that that's based in any real historical document that I read. I mean, they did obviously take the train to Tennessee and they did march. And that's sort of like an imagined dreamscape of like her inner world. War Measure, the 3rd song on the record, is based on a letter that Woodrow Wilson wrote to Carrie Chapman Catt. And in the next bunch of songs is where I really kind of said, okay, I'm going to kind of get further into this imagined life of Carrie Chapman Catt. And that's sort of where the right time and someone to follow come from.
Let's go into one of those songs. I was thinking about The Right Time. Is that a good place to go now?
Yeah, that's funny. That's a song that I feel like I like it more and more as like the time goes by. It's a song that I wrote trying to think about what it must have been like to be her, stuck in this time period where there were very few options for highly intelligent women. I mean, they did exist. You know, women were in certain circles, obviously able to get out of their town and go to college and become academics. But for many women, even very smart women, the only job that was an option was to be a teacher. This is a song about that, about her leaving Charles City, Iowa, and going to school and trying to, let's give the people in her town, like, I want to be the one that they talk about. When is it going to be my time? When's it going to be the right time?
I feel my power.
Right Time, track 5 on All My Friends, the 4th full-length album of originals by Aoife O'Donovan, our guest today on Shiro's. I took note of these lyrics. I feel my power growing, blood pulsing under thick skin. I'm going to move a mountain, baby. That'll give them something to think about. Love that so much.
Oh, gosh. Thank you. It's funny, I think about that sort of the idea of thick skin often because I feel like that's even a complicated thought, right? That like we need to have a thicker skin, that like we don't want to be accused of being a snowflake. But I do think that as a woman, as a human being, I have found that it is important not to have a thick skin, but to sort of say, you know what? Like that can't hurt me. Nope, you can't get in there because I'm better than that. And I think that's kind of what I mean by that. When I think about like, you know, my daughter, if somebody's teasing her, I'm just saying, you just got to ignore it. Just let it go. And that feels like an underrated quality.
I was thinking about that too. It's hard to ignore parallels or a resonance with one's own experience, like zooming out what life was like for women and what it's like now, but also like on a personal level, what it's like for you, what your experience has been, what your experience is now, what your experience is as a musician and as a woman out in the world in an industry that's very male dominated still, being a mother and being a musician in this chapter of your career. I wanted to explore that with you a little bit more. Like what kinds of things have been simmering for you as a result of diving into this material and embodying it and thinking about Carrie Chapman Catt?
It's really interesting even just hearing you sort of describe that, like the zoom out of, yeah, what I feel in referencing the big zoom out of what life is like for me as a musician, as a woman. I personally have been very lucky in my career in my absolutely male-dominated field to have come up, I think, in a scene of people and had teachers and mentors who didn't ever make me feel lesser than. I'm not sure if that's just a result of my own sort of innate, some would say, overconfidence that I've definitely had since I was literally a baby. I was kind of brought up to really believe in myself and to speak my mind. And I think that in musical contexts, anybody who's worked with me will say, like, if I feel something or if I think something musically should be different or somebody's not doing something the way I want to do it, I'm very direct. I'm a very direct person. And I think that that has definitely helped in musical contexts because I think that when you are direct and when you know what you want and you have the language to say what you want, people just are going to take it a little bit more seriously than if you're sort of, I feel like I'm not sure, like, yeah, I don't. Maybe we could do it this way. And I think because that's just not my personality, that's not something I actually think about. I just sort of do it the way I do it. I think as a mother, I think about that often, like, how can we give our daughters the tools, the language in their fields, the confidence and the ability to sort of speak their mind and to command respect? I think that's really important for the women of today.
In the context of this project, it can't go unnoticed that this is coming out in Women's History Month and in an election year and in a time when women's rights are very much on the line. So it does trigger these thoughts of both how far we've come, how far we still have to go.
Of course. You know? No, and I even think about that in terms of Carrie Chapman Catt writing a letter to Woodrow Wilson and corresponding with the President of the United States. I think that to have done that in 1918 or whenever that letter was written, you have to have some gall to sort of say, yeah, well, you know what? I am going to write to President Wilson and demand that we are granted suffrage because this is absolute I think that we need more of that. We need more of that sort of taking it by the horns. And just to sort of address the idea that this is coming out in election year, I always love to remind people that there are elections all the time. There are local elections, there are state elections. And yes, this is an election year with a big general election that obviously is unbelievably important on a worldwide scale. But there are so many elections that are equally important to your actual day-to-day life as, you know, citizens of whatever town it is that you live in. And that's really where I hope people start to pay closer attention.
So we've covered some of this in a previous conversation when we talked around Age of Apathy, but can we trace your musical roots a little bit? Was piano your first instrument?
Piano was my first instrument.
Yeah.
And my mom is a pianist. And so I think some of my earliest musical moments are me sitting at the piano and like banging out songs with a Rise Up Singing songbook. Played piano. And then in high school, I started playing guitar and getting really kind of into folk music. But I've always been a singer. I mean, like, that's really what I consider myself as a singer. That's my main gig. Went to college to study music at New England Conservatory and started Crooked Still. And that was kind of my first big band, I guess, that we toured for years and years. And that's where I've met all my friends, is through that sort of folk scene, that bluegrass scene, and still have deep connections with everybody that I've started playing music with back in the early 2000s.
So classical music, was that part of your world at all when you were coming up?
It was part of my world in that I was always really exposed to classical music. My dad was a radio DJ, as I think you know, in WGBH, and he had a Celtic music radio show, but we always were a big radio family. So on GBH, there was a ton of classical music, and that was always on. My mom went to BU and studied classical piano. I went to a conservatory, so I was obviously around a ton of classical music, and now I'm married to a conductor and a cellist, and I would say I have a lot more classical music in my life now than I did as a child.
I also wanted to say, I'm so sorry about your father, the
Thank
loss
you.
Of your father as he just came up. I love that he's here with us in conversation.
Yeah. me too. It's a big loss, but his legacy, I mean, I credit him for so much of just like the person that I am. And yeah, he really, really was a great guy.
Was he able to experience America Come?
He was. He got to hear, it's actually a really funny story. Right before he passed. So like it was about maybe 3 weeks before he passed. My sister, actually it's funny, I'm like laughing and crying. But my sister and I were in Boston. He was in hospice already, but he was still able to kind of move around the house. And for anybody who knows my dad who's listening, they know that my dad loved a party. He loved people. He was so social. And so my sister and I were sitting upstairs with him and he was lying down and we were talking about the record. And I was like, do you want to go have a listening party? So my dad, he heard the word party, and I kid you not, I mean, he's literally on his deathbed, and I'm only laughing about it because he thought this was so funny after the fact. It was hilarious. He basically jumps out of bed almost. He's in hospice. This is 3 weeks before he passed away. He had terminal brain cancer. Jumps up, grabs a brush, starts brushing his hair. And he's like, well, we're going downstairs to the party, right? And my sister and I were like, well, it's just going to be us. But yes, let's go downstairs. So we go downstairs and we listen to it. He loves it. He has a glass of wine. And my sister and I are talking. And I was like, oh, you know, we recorded it here and there. Yada, I'm telling my dad all about it. And my sister's like chiming in, but she's using the word we as well. So after my dad gets through the whole thing, he says to my sister, now, what was your involvement in this, Nuala? Really just kind of calling her out that like, she wasn't involved at all. And he knew that well. But he was just sort of like, come on, why are you trying to take credit? It was so funny. So he did get to hear it right before he passed. And I'm so glad that he did. He loved it. And I think that music and just growing up in such a warm and music-filled home was the greatest gift that my parents could have ever given me.
Is there a song that brings that experience to mind or brings your dad to mind?
Yeah, well, I think Someone to Follow, that's a song that's kind of about motherhood and parenthood and the idea that we want our children to be the great leaders of the next generation. And I think that my parents and their parents, they were raised that way. They raised us that way. And I owe it to all of them to raise my own child that way.
When I look in the glass, I can see you there, can see you around us. So I'll follow the stars in the eastern sky, coloring the horizon. Put the moon in your teeth like a piece of cheese, and it's crumbling everywhere. And you're gathering kindling like bees, you sound like a gill
That Someone to Follow, the new album by Aoife O'Donovan, is called All My Friends. She's our guest today on She Rose. I'm Carmel Holt. This is one of these things that kind of comes around on a regular basis on this show, talking about the importance of collaborating with women in music spaces, what that does for us, and if there's even an awareness around the intentional choices to do that, to not do that, all that stuff.
Yeah, I feel like that's an interesting conversation, because I think it's really important to lift up other women, obviously, and I have done that my whole career. I love playing with women and touring with women. That said, I think it's also really important to make the best musical experience that you can, and it needs to be about the music first. So I don't ever want to hire people because they're a woman. You know what I mean? I want to hire people because they're the best damn player for the job, and I feel so lucky that that's how it's always been for me. So music is music, and that's going to be the best music you can possibly make, sort of in it. And sometimes that's going to be with a band of all women, and sometimes it's going to be in a band with two women and two men, like Crooked Still is two women and three men. And sometimes it's going to be a band that's all guys. Like, that's my take on it, at least, is I think it's crucial to make these connections. And when you find a real musical connection, and when you find a real spiritual musical partner, make music with them. I mean, I think that it's kind of comes back to what I was saying earlier about, like, everybody just needs common sense again, which is that I think it's amazing to have a thing like She Rose and She Rose Radio and to be lifting up women, because the truth is, like, we aren't equals right now. Like, women make less money than men. Women hold fewer positions of power than men. There are differences that kind of can't be ignored. I'm not offended by somebody referring to me as a female musician, because it just feels like a fact, like a blonde musician or a 41-year-old musician. Like, I don't, like, it doesn't, like, bother me. Where it starts to annoy me is when somebody says, oh, I can't hire you because I already hired this other person. And I'm like, but we actually sound nothing alike. There's no similarity other than we both have ovaries. Like, that's the only thing that's similar about us. That's when you're sort of like, what the?
Aoife, this hour is flying by. Before we wrap up, we need to do our She Rose magic wand wish.
Oh, okay, great.
With this wand, you have the power to change anything in the music industry for women, non-binary people, queer folks. First wave of the wand, what would you change?
I would say more opportunities at a younger age to be playing in bands, to be playing in orchestras, to be seeing female conductors, if you're an orchestral musician, when you're little, when you're like 5, 6, 7, make it so that, talk about normalizing it, let's get more female non-binary musicians as they get older and bring them into the fold.
I love that. It feels like a great setup for us to go out with daughters.
Yes, please. Let's do it.
Do you want to tell us anything about the song before we go into it?
Kind of talked about it a little bit earlier about how I wrote this first line of here in the dark, and everything that once was becomes a tiny spark. And it really is kind of just looking back. I always think about, like, what are we going to see? What are people going to see 100 years from now when they're looking back at this time? And what do we see that we can't? It's all kind of fuzzy. And I just love that sort of the idea that when you're creating music, or even using your imagination, or you're kind of slipping away into your mind, you can sort of create this tableau of these powerful women and these scenes and these marches, and how they're marching for you and you're then marching for them. It just feels powerful.
Women in schools and counting houses, and shops and all the farms, they're all alone.
They got babies crying at their breasts. Sun sinks in the west. The veins of these women are not filled with milk and water. These are mothers of bold American daughters. But they are not.
With thanks once again to Aoife O'Donovan. Thank you so much for being here once again on She Rose, and congratulations on this album.
Thank you. Thank you, Carmel.
Massive thanks once again to Aoife O'Donovan for being with us. Her fourth solo album, All My Friends, is out now on Yep Rock Records. Today's conversation has been condensed and edited for radio. And to hear the full interview, please download and subscribe to the She Rose podcast, available everywhere. Next, we close the hour celebrating the 80th birthday of living legend Diana Ross. And welcome the spring with a track by Alison Russell when She Rose Radio continues.
When will we be ready for the victory?
When will we be ready for the victory?
Will we ever be ready for the victory?
At KAXE, we keep it local.
What kind of instruments should we expect at this percussion ensemble?
Starting from the stage right, we would have like timpani. There's a drum set involved in there. There's
I just miss people. You know,
yeah.
Grandparents and the way things were. And you feel a lot of things this time of year, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, in my family.
What was that like? Tell me about it.
It was very fun. I tried to make the lollipops as big as I can make them.
Like as big as your head, or how big?
I'm Heidi Holton. We need your support to keep it local. Text the word donate right now to 218-326-1234. And thanks.
It's She Rose Radio, and I'm Carmel Holt. I told you earlier this hour that it's a big birthday week. We already marked the births of Sarah Vaughan and Aretha Franklin, who are both sadly no longer with us. And now we're marking the 80th birthday of living legend Diana Ross on Tuesday, March 26th. At 80, Diana Ross is the new face of Yves Saint Laurent for their new Spring 2024 campaign. Diana Ross rose to stardom with the Supremes, who were a vocal group that spent most of the 60s becoming one of the most successful recording acts of all time. She broke from the group in 1970, had immediate solo triumphs leading to more than two dozen solo top 40 hits, and her still thriving six-decade career was celebrated in 2019 with a documentary called Diana Ross, Her Life, Love, and Legacy. And as recently as 2021, she released her 25th solo album. Let's go back to her time with the Supremes for this one. Happy 80th birthday to Diana Ross.
Fire that within.
Happy spring, everyone. Springtime from Alison Russell's multi-Grammy winning latest album, The Returner, on She Rose Radio, and wishing a very happy 80th birthday to the living legend, Diana Ross. That does it for this week's edition of She Rose Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in wherever you may be listening. Together, let's keep turning up the volume. She Rose Radio is produced by me and is mixed and mastered by Kelly Drake. Our original theme music is by Lucius. Download and subscribe to the She Rose podcast, distributed by Talkhouse and available everywhere. Keep in touch. Call us toll free, 833-MY-SHERO. Find us on Instagram and Twitter. I'm at Carmel Holt, or find us at She Rose Radio, online at SheRoseRadio.com. And until next time, remember, music is our superpower. I'm Carmel Holt. Thanks for listening.